Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave, so much. So much to say. And I'm glad I'm laughing. Listen, I just posted something to Facebook, and I'll tell you this. If you hear anything, either live or in archive mode on this show, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, that doesn't sound quite right, could you please let me know via message on Facebook or altcwgal@aol.com or bunnyfrombandstand@yahoo.com. We're trying to work out all of the kinks, and there have been several in the past couple of weeks. So, with that said, fingers crossed, hopefully all of the audio sounds good. Daoud Saeed sounds pretty good in my ear right now, the intro music. Woohoo! He just sent me a new song for his forthcoming CD. I'm a little excited about that. Didn't expect it. We've got two guests. Speaking of Baltimore and Washington, they are going to knock your socks off, truly. Our friend Ray Gaskins on saxophone coming up in the next hour, and then Elliot Levine coming up in the next half hour. So two next hour around, right? Yeah. Hello. Woo! Let me change ears here. So I've got something to do that's really special for you. You know we start out the show with something that's a classic, right? So this time around, we're going to start off with Sun Ra on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
song.
I played that song on Hyper Jazz. Isn't that something? Man! And it just sounded so good in that three-song set. Woo! One after the other. Sun Ra, Gerald Clayton, and Chaka Khan with Dizzy Gillespie. Lord have mercy. Chaka from 1981 from the gold-certified third album that she did, What You Gonna Do For Me, produced by the multi-award-winning, the late, great Arif Mardin, who knew Chaka Khan inside and out and always challenged her. Chaka tells a story that this is what he would do. He would have a melody, and he would say, now look, I want you to write a lyric for that, and I'll see you tomorrow. Have it ready, okay? She was tripping, but you know what? She came up to the challenge every single time. She just loved him and misses him. A new word on Chaka. Hold on for that. Now, that is, of course, Night in Tunisia, but for all purposes, it was called And the Melody Lingers On for this LP or cassette, whatever we called it at the time, you know, 1981. That particular song actually had, let's see, how can I put this? Charlie Parker did a take on the song in 1946. It had a four-bar alto break, and that is on this particular song. On the album, man, Herbie Hancock, David Foster, Michael Cimbello, Abe Laboriel, Hamish Stewart from the Average White Band. So no wonder it was gold certified, right? Just stellar. Here's the news. Chaka Khan is getting ready to unveil a jazz album. She said not everybody can sing jazz. Not everybody should. It takes a certain kind of discipline. You have to feel it. You have to believe in it. This is very encouraging for me to hear this from Chaka Khan, so I'll keep you posted on that, but just had to play that. Gerald Clayton, woo, on piano, along with, oh, I love to say his name, Ambrose Akinmusiri on trumpet. Mm. And some other folks that are just too amazing, Dana Stevens, Joe Sanders, Gretchen Parlato's on the CD, Sashel Vasandani, Life Forum, the name of the project, and Shadamantam is the name of the track, which I thought was pretty cool because it does sound sort of like a guy's anthem. Shadamantam. Gerald got a big kick out of that when he was on Hybrid Jazz. Just so you know what he's doing, oh, Lord, is he ever doing it. He's going to be with Terry Lynn Carrington at the Richmond Jazz Festival on the 9th, which is this Saturday. If you haven't seen the lineup at Richmond Jazz, which is a bona fide jazz festival with jazz artists, now, if recollection serves me, there is an R&B act headlining the event. I'll take that, as long as you have worthy jazz artists who aren't pushed to the back burner. Can I make that any clearer? Catherine Gilrain got me started past couple of days. Let's settle down now. Let's see, what else about Gerald? He's going to be with his dad, part of the Clayton Brothers Quintet, with Obed Calvert, yes, and Terrell Stafford, John and Jeff Clayton. If you look up Gerald Clayton's itinerary, you're going to see all sorts of wonderful things, including him with Charles Lloyd, who you'll hear later on in the show at the Monterey Jazz Festival. So excited about that. We heard from Sun Ra. I'm just excited, period, because the music sounds good so far. So my little rant at the beginning of the show, just put that on the aside for right now. Okay. Sun Ra. Yes. What was that? Oh, my gosh. So long ago now. It was actually recorded in Chicago in the summer in 1960. And then Fate in a Pleasant Mood was released in 1965, reissued by Impulse, and then again in 1993. Sun Ra, the composer, bandleader, pianist, poet, cosmic philosopher, he was a fry short of a happy meal. But like a lot of those folks, now we understand what he had to say back then and go, huh. Maybe he was just a doggone visionary. A lot of stuff made sense back then. That was his what he would call it then. He called it then the Myth Science Orchestra. Yes. You have to get involved in Sun Ra's music to a certain extent. And I wanted things to be really kind of funky today in honor of Ray Gaskins and Elliot Levine, who know their way around funk and soul as well as straight-ahead jazz. No joke. It's just a pleasure to give to you a taste of the strong talent of the DMV, and that includes Virginia, Maryland, Washington, Baltimore. Oh, man, it gets better and better every time I think about it. Let's get to more music, though, shall we? Cindy Bradley has a number one song, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, she's no stranger to those, but this is from Bliss, her newer CD, Riverside Jive, featuring Cindy on trumpet and some extraordinary players, including her husband, Dan Cipriano, on saxophone, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Oh,
This is Hybrid Jazz. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. If you go to royairs.net as opposed to royairs.com, there are two of them, you will see that Erica Badu has a quote on the front page that calls him a king. He is indeed Roy Ayers, 74 this year, by the way. His ubiquity. Yes, Roy Ayers' ubiquity. That was a big funkin' Wagner word back in 1976, y'all. Woo! Everybody loves the sunshine. Had to play that, not only because it features one of the coolest cats on keyboard ever, Philip Wu, but also because Roy Ayers and Ray Gaskins are thick as thieves, and Ray is coming up at the 2 o'clock hour, hopefully. Hopefully he'll remember, won't you, Rayford? I sure hope so. Man, that's good stuff. It feels so good to hear the funk in the mix, especially when you think about the body of work of Ray Gaskins and Elliot Levine. I've known these guys for a while. You have heard a lot of their music on Hybrid Jazz since 2011. They know how to do every kind of music because they feel it. They are astute businessmen as well as musicians, so they know what is pleasing to someone's ear, and they just happen to feel the music that's pleasing to people's ears. Now, I say that because folks take that for granted, but it's really important to have that kind of balance if you want to have any longevity in a music business. So just throwing it out there. Roy Ayers from 1976 and Joe Sample, Hippies on a Corner from Old Faces, Old Places back in 1995. Now, we understand that Joe was hospitalized. He still might be. But according to our friends Skip and Bobby, he's getting better. He's at least stable. I think that he got himself into a frame of mind working on a project that was so near and dear to his heart that he went a little overboard. How he got to meet Jonathan Brook, the folky, rocky singer-songwriter that is a favorite in many circles, I'm not sure. But Jonathan had an ear for Joe's beloved subject matter, and that is a woman named Henriette DeLille. Long story short, Henriette lived in the 1800s. Joe, being a person of the Catholic faith, has long wanted to put her story in form, a musical form, that would tell the tale of Henriette balking at the notion of doing what other light-skinned African-American women did at that time, entering into an arrangement, a common law marriage with a white man in order to make her life better. Henriette wanted to serve the poor. So at that time, black women could not join a convent. So she formed her own organization of women who wanted to serve God in the kind of capacity that she had in mind. And the Catholic Church ultimately recognized what she did. This has been on Joe's mind for at least 16 years. He talked about it on Cool Jazz Conversations when I was co-hosting that show with Joy Hall. This is going back several years ago. And he mentioned it again when he was on Hybrid Jazz. Well, now it's coming into fruition. So please make sure that you stay in prayer for Joe so that he can see this dream come to pass. It means everything to him. So there you go. And you can find out a lot. Actually, if you go to Jonathan Brook's website, she's got a whole synopsis of what she's doing with Joe on her blog. It's amazing. Cindy Bradley, number one song, Riverside Jive from Bliss, along with Freddie Fox, Dan Cipriano, and Michael Browning. She's very proud of that. She should be. I'm very proud to give you Ray Gaskins coming up at the top of the hour. Let's get to some music in the meantime. I promised you Yusef Lateef in an earlier Facebook post. This is from Yusef Lateef's Detroit from 1969, Russell and Elliott on Hybrid Jazz. We'll be right back. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Love you.
nice? Oh, my. Wait, let me get myself together here. Yeah. That was Micah Chevalier with Ray Gaskins playing the heck out of that saxophone. The Island from A Time for Love. I'm laughing because I'm totally immersed in the music here, and that's like not long enough for me. 3.5 minutes, but it would be great if it would be longer. So I get a message from Ray Gaskins who said, "Trish, where are you?" I love him so much. Oh, my God, he is so funny. This man has been playing for a long time. He has Baltimore roots, but he has lived in the UK. And for a spell, you know, artists go back and forth different places in the world because jazz seems to get respect in waves, I would say, as far as the appreciation is concerned and the work. Translate the money. So now Ray is back here, and he's doing his own band leading, but also works quite efficiently and, how shall I say, a lot with Roy Ayers. But let him explain all this, because nobody explains like the amazing Ray Gaskins. Hey, Ray!
Hey, Trish, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. I'm just sitting here having my coffee and admiring the sunshine on a beautiful Baltimore day in August.
Yes, yes. And as a matter of fact, in honor of you, we did play Roy Ayers' Everybody Loves the Sunshine because it is such a beautiful day. Woo-hoo!
Well, that's justly so. It's fine to know, you know. But there are other things that are going on besides the sunshine. And well, anyway, that's interesting in going down that road, because we have been down so many roads together, haven't we, Trisha?
Yes, we have. As a matter of fact, I flash back on an image of you. Oh, my God, you are the funniest person in the world as far as the promotion of your music. No one is like you, Ray. You actually showed up at WSMJ. This is going back several years ago. You showed up at the studio just like the old days with a record in your hand, and it wasn't even completely mastered yet. You just handed it to me.
Right.
I love you.
Yeah. That's right. You got to do that. You got to go and say, "Hey, look, I just hope that you understand."
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Actually, my second CD album that I released in the UK had Summertime on it. As a lot of people know about that, and Crystal Clear, those two records really made it big on national radio in the UK. And
yep.
It was so fun that they told me, they said, "Ray, we have to remaster this." And they were playing it like five times a day on Jazz FM, national radio. And they said,
"Wow,
Ray, we have to master this radio." I said, "What's wrong with it?" He says, "Well, it has to be. We just have to remaster. We can do it. We can do it here." And I said, "Great," because at the time I wasn't too privy on, you know, mastering. Now we're going back some time, but I was like, mastering, I mean, I had to take it to another lab and spend more money. But,
oh, wow.
But they were playing, they were still playing the record five times a day, and then there was a DJ who was the head of the, he was a director, program director at Jazz FM, and he said, "Ray, can you give us a version without the guitar solo on it?" I said, "But you're taking away the element of what I really, you know, I believe that's what it was. Now you change the groove, you put a solo on it, and then you change it back to the other groove, first stanza, and then you have saxophone solo or organ solo." And that was the thing of the makeup of the song, is that you have plenty of everything, not to overproduce it, but just have plenty of everything going on that one record. And everybody said, "Wow, we love that, because you got the guitar solo on it, then you play the organ solo, then you play the sax solo, and then you had everybody playing together at the end. That was fantastic." So for me to do an edit without a guitar solo on, and I said, "Well, what's the reason Just you want me to take the guitar solo out? What, why would you want me to take the guitar solo out? He said, oh, you know, that's our listeners. I said, oh, okay, but of course. So I made sure I made sure that I gave them the most botched up, you know, demo of the guitar edit without the guitar in it that I could think of so he could leave it alone. So he had to play a little bit of politics with them as well. But that's what happened. But the record ended up going to, like, it went to number one during the summertime, of course. And now here, and 20 years later, I'm getting ready to do a spot with a week with Minnesota Hot Radio.
And, oh!
And it's going to be fantastic. Yeah, I'm doing a couple of clubs and a casino, and I'm staying over there for about a week. They put me up in a 5-star, and I get to sit back and... But I get to eat. Boy, it's going to be great.
Wow. So, I mean, is that something that they usually do? It's like a week stint? That's a pretty big deal.
Well, actually, it was starting out to be just 2 shows. Then it turned into 3 shows. Then it ended up being I'm going over state. What is it, North Dakota, South Dakota? I'm going over there to do something for the radio people over there, too, as well. So, hey, I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, so it's going to be like a one-day ride over that way, and then I'll be featured with Ginger Patterson over there for the hot radio stint. So
oh,
we're doing
wow.
that. And she's a very talented vocalist. So
yes.
We're going to do that stint, and we're going to come back, and then we're going to finish up in St. Paul. I mean, yeah, St. Paul. And then they're going to kick me out. They're going to send me home after that. But I think it's going to be great. You know, I have a lot of fun, you know, over there. And it all came from just like when I came to you with my record and you helped me promote a show that I was doing in here, around here in the city. And then you helped with the great day in Baltimore and all that. I was like, it was really wonderful you to step up to the plate for me. And you know, that's what it's all about.
It is. And, you know, Ray, I'll tell you the truth. When I move in December, it's just going to be a little tough because there's been a lot of camaraderie in Baltimore and D.C. coming over to Baltimore and in Virginia. But, you know, Baltimore musicians are such that there's a lot of rallying together when the chips are down, isn't there?
It certainly is. I mean, 2010, when I had this crazy idea and I only had about 5 weeks to do it, and everybody kind of got behind me. And I think at that time, you know, Facebook had a lot more duality, if I could just say that. At the time, everybody was like, wow, well, we just got Facebook. What are these people saying? So we all got together. About 200 of us got together. We did a round robin around the city, jam sessions at various clubs. And we all gathered in Baltimore across from the city hall at they call the War Memorial Plaza. And we all gathered for a photo, just like the Esquire version of Great Day in Harlem. And it was wonderful. And Dennis Chambers I said, if I invite everybody I can think of and I can get a hold of. And at the time, the medium was Facebook, where they say, wow, you know, if Dennis Chambers is going to go, I'm going to go. I said, the first qualification you have to have is you have to be a musician. And then it came down to if you're involved directly with the music community, everybody jumped in and jumped and said, oh, please, can I be in? And people call me up and say, what do you wear? I don't know, what do you wear? it was wonderful. It was a wonderful day. People were nominating me for, you know, musical president, mayor of Baltimore, and
yeah.
What else I'm doing? Next thing, you know.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, if you had been elected mayor of Baltimore, Ray, you would have done a pretty good job. Seriously.
At least I would have got everybody together for pictures, at least.
Oh, you were an absolute pit bull. You took charge, and you weren't going to tolerate any nonsense because you knew that the photographer, Glenwood Jackson, had other things he had to do. You were trying to pay attention to what everybody else was doing. You had your little girl with you that day, and you were making sure that folks got in line. I was very proud of you that day, Rayford. I was.
You know, thank you. It was real easy. It all kind of just fell together. The thing of it was that we had photographers coming up from D.C., one that's going to steal snaps. And I was like, there's no way, the only way that they could really get a decent picture was to have a log of everybody who was in the picture. So
yes.
I had everybody, having everybody fill out cards and then flip them over where they had their names on and then fill out the card with your personal info on the back, like a phone number, contact number, and an email of sorts or whatever. Or an address where we can send you a copy or whatever we're going to work out. People went along with that, and that was the easiest way, I figured, to do, have everybody identify on the photo. But not for you, because you were in the front row.
Yeah, and you know what? It's just because I'm short. That's the only reason why. Because everybody else was taller, and of course, you want to pose it like Great Day in Harlem to a certain extent with people that make sense. The taller people are standing on steps so that they can, have some sort of, it makes sense that way. But look, this is an aside. Do you know that the original Great Day in Harlem, there's only two people left from that picture?
That's right. That's
Sonny Rollins.
Yeah, so Sonny's there. Wait a minute, what's her name? The young lady.
She's gone now. She's gone.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe. So the only one that's left is Benny. Benny Golson and Sonny Rollins. That's Sonny Rollins.
Yep.
Are the only ones that are left.
That's right. So it makes us think about the Great Day in Baltimore photo, it means even more now because you had a lot of love for that original picture and you wanted to do something special for Baltimore. That's a memory that we're all going to have until the day that we pass from this earth. So thank you for
that's
that.
Right. Well, it was a vision that I saw it could be very well duplicated, and I think the idea was somebody came to me with an idea. Said, "Would you want to get on a tour bus and go to each individual city?" I said, "It would work if we had some help. I couldn't keep doing it by myself all the time in every city. Even though, like, I believe New York tried it 4 years. Every 4 years, they try to do it somewhere, and I believe that Philadelphia had tried to do it once or twice." And I think maybe someone in Washington, after we did it, they put together something where everybody in D.C. got together. But, I mean, it's what's needed. It's a camaraderie. It's a fellowship. It's just as good as any other place any other thing where you can get two or more people to gather. If you can think of it, and you can see it, and if you get the means and want to put your effort into it, there's no reason why it can't happen.
That's right. Well, it takes strong leadership to get it together because, up to that time, you were relentless about making sure that folks knew where and when, and the discipline was such, you can't just casually put this kind of effort together. You probably rested for about a week after that.
After that was all over and I finally got together, I finally went to the last venue where we all hung out and we all sat in and we had jam sessions at like five different clubs, and at the end of all that and finally sitting down and just had a good cry and said, hey, well done, and I had help with the organization. I was lucky to be able to delegate some of the authority to someone else to be able to take care of the things. Like I had help from the college radio station, WEAA. I had help from them. I had to add their airwaves. I had your help on your radio show. I had to, get people together. And without that, without having the extra media help and then Facebook, it wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah.
And not as well as it went. You know, I was very lucky to be able to have had that happen.
Well, you know, I think that you've inspired me. I want to play a song by you because I think it's one of your definitive works, and I really want to showcase your vocal on this track coming up. But, you know, now that you've mentioned The Great Day in Baltimore, I want to use that as my timeline photo for a couple of days just to refresh people's memories, if that's okay with you.
Sure. My pleasure.
Good. Well, look, you know, the record that you came, when you came to WSMJ, and gosh, we've known each other for a long time now, since 2005. Hello?
Right.
Well, you're not going to forget this because you gave me a couple of sides of A Night in the Life, and one of the tracks that you gave me was your version of When I Fall in Love, which I loved, but then I heard all of the CD back then, and you have a history with a song called Shady Lane, and that's the one I want to play. You want to talk about that?
Shady Lane?
Yeah.
Shady Lane came about, and I conceived that in London, and I finally recorded it in 1997. The thought about it, was on the way home from a recording session that I was actually doing the Shady Lane album, and I had been commissioned by Lipstick Records to do the album, and I had no idea, no concept what I was going to do. I said, we're just going to go in and we'll record a couple of tunes that I had been working on already and stuff that we had been doing on shows. Like Chili Funk, you probably will see that on the album, and another tune called PY, another stuff that I had in my head, hanging out with a few groups in town just jamming. So I said to myself, you know, that would be a good idea, and then I developed a tune off of the groove, and basically what I was doing was listening to what the guys were doing as far as they were playing these two chord grooves, which could be converted into dance music, which is very easy to listen to. And at the time, that was a spinoff of the acid jazz movement, which was also another spinoff of what I had done with Fish Belly Black, and I'd done with Summertime after that, which is another story by itself. But Shady Lane was conceived by me driving in the London streets on the way back to my house, and it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, and I saw this girl. She was just standing there in the middle of the night by herself, and I'm saying to myself, she was so stunningly beautiful that she had definitely had a choice other than standing on that street corner at 4 o'clock in the morning. And this was the area where people stand on the street in the middle of the night, whether they're soliciting or whatever. But the idea came up to me when I kind of slowed down and looked into her face, and I could see the pain in her face that she actually probably, for that moment, if anything else, realized that she didn't have to be there either. So the song Shady Lane came from singing about the way she might have been feeling. So the next day I went back to the studio about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we did Shady Lane. It took us about all of 2 hours to finish the take. It was a one take thing. We rehearsed it for about an hour, then we did one take and we were finished. So then I had to come up with it was just one of those songs. It was that powerful, and then it became the title of the CD.
Well, I know it's surfaced here and there a few times in your long career, but I love the idea of the version of from A Night in the Life, just because of the fact that you had both American musicians and musicians from the UK on these tracks, and there are many tracks, and there's full appreciation that I have for each and every one of these songs on this CD. So if I may, I'm going to play Shady Lane from A Night in the Life by Ray Gaskins right now. Ray, hang on with me. I'll be right there after it's done. I want folks to hear your voice, if that's okay.
That's fine, Trish. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Hold on now.
Okay.
Shady Lane, where the young girls go. Late at night, where the money flows. Oh, now, see the cars are creeping, the women walking down the street. She can feel your fantasy while she's trying to make enough to eat. Oh, I realize that there are things I cannot change. But I don't know how the girl can play that game. She's in a lonely world called Shady Lane. She's down and out of Shady Lane.
We're looking at a reunion tour coming up soon.
Yes.
I'm getting all the UK musicians back together, and we're going to go UK and Europe, and we're going to do a UK Europe reunion with the old band that recorded on this particular piece on this album.
Oh, great! Wow. Oh, Ray, that's exciting. When is that going to happen? I mean, look, I know that you've got so many irons in the fire because you're doing your own thing and you got to tend to business in Baltimore, and then you're out with Roy Ayers, and then you've got this Minnesota thing happening. But can you give us a time frame or anything that you, else that you can tell us that's cool that's on the way?
Well, we're looking at the tour, reunion tour coming up in late September. We're looking at Minnesota radio, Minnesota hot radio. We're looking at that. That's going to begin on the 8th of September. And we're looking at UK, I think we're starting Ronnie Scott's somewhere around either it's going to be the last week of September or the first week of October. We're looking at the window because I think international acts are going to book only like maybe two or three nights in a row there now because they slow down from what they used to have. I used to play at Ronnie Scott's 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that was back in the day, though. I mean, they had to make up for making, you know, for plane fares and stuff like that. But when I was living there, it was much easier for me to get a job there because I lived there. So he's just down the street, and his band is in the UK. So now I'm going back over again to UK, and my band is already there. So I'll just be, you know, just me and Chris will be traveling.
Oh, that's wonderful. Man, I'm so excited about that. Woo! Well, you know what? You've made a lot of people happy, and you have really enriched other people's musicality because your reputation is such. I've known you for a while. You and I travel in some similar circles. You've had some great support with your music, and you've made other people shine because you were part of their particular ensemble of musicians. So please stick around for like 150 more years so we can hear more Ray Gaskins music, please.
Yes, certainly. You know what? I was just thinking about, I've been to that studio where we recorded the Sadie Lane album, and I was there with a Japanese artist about 2 years before that. His name was Fusunosuke Kondo from Japan. And
wow.
He recorded a blues album there. And he said, the idea, guys, is that, he says, I'm walking into this session. I have no tunes. I'm traveling all the way from Japan, but I have no tunes. But can everybody throw a couple tunes in? Well, people had tunes, including, you might remember, the Lewinson brothers, drum and bass player. They were from London. Now they drum with Sade, and they play together with Sade, and they had their own production company in London. But all these guys had, it was like about six of us in a band that were getting together for session. There were no tunes involved. So whatever we could rehearse, we would do. No covers, all original. So it ended up being, they threw everything at me, said, can you put some lyrics together? I sat down at the same piano that I sat down and wrote down half the album I did on Shady Lane. So I sat here and did seven tunes, lyrics for seven songs in about 25 minutes. So I was just sitting here thinking about that. So, well, I used to really write very quick back then. And all those, that album's gone like platinum now. All the years have gone by now. But, you know, but I'm waiting on Shady Lane to hit gold. But, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, it's a wonderful jazz album, but Shady Lane originally was going to be like a passing tune to be played as a blues because it kind of started out as a blues setting if you listen to the opening lyrics.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about, you know, how would Trish treat this song if she heard it? And I meant to ask you after all this time, does it sound more like country, western, or blues? What does it sound like? Because you come from, well, anyway, but you came from kind of like country, western kind of, didn't you?
Well, for a long time. But here's the feeling on Shady Lane. It's reflective of your time in the UK, because that sounds like one of those funky, mellower acid jazz grooves that has all the best of blues and jazz and soul in it. That's one of those definitive songs for me. You know that? Honestly.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I had a lot of fun putting that together and working on my project that I'm working on as of today. I'm working on a songbook album. I'm not going to tell you whose songbook it will be, but I'm working on a songbook CD, which should be finished. Hopefully, I'll have that done after I get back from Minnesota. If I have maybe about a week that I can just work that in before I go on this other road trip.
Okay. Well, look, when you get that together, will you come back and talk about it here?
Certainly, you're going to be the first. You know that, Trish. I'm going to say you got to listen to it first.
Okay. Well, I love that. I love that. You know I do. Ray, I'm going to keep abreast of what's happening. The Great Day in Baltimore photo is now my cover photo on Facebook. So hopefully you're going to get some more buzz about that. And we will talk more as time goes on. And please do me a favor and get some rest in between these gigs.
I'm half asleep now. Are you kidding?
Thank you, Ray, so much. God love you. You know I love you.
And I love you too, Chris. I mean, Trish, you take it here. We love you, Ray. We'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ray Gaskins, oh, my Lord. Let me tell you something. When you get Ray in a room full of other musicians, it is something else entirely, just like the vibe with this next gentleman. I promised you two guests this hour. I just want to give you a taste, and I know that he's been hanging on. I want to give you a taste of keyboard mastery from this gentleman who has one of the best reputations that I know of from a multitude of different kinds of folks. This is from Elliott Levine's album that was out a few years ago called Live Plus 7. This is his take on Tender Love. As much as some of us have loved the original of that song, I listened to Elliott Levine's version this morning, and I cried so hard that I had to stop the recording of it. Oh, my God. There's just something about the way that he has a touch on that keyboard that just means so much. And, of course, stands to reason. He toured with Wilson Pickett. He is with Heatwave, done a lot of work with Heatwave. He scored an Emmy-nominated documentary. His music has been featured on TBS. I can't tell you what kind of a workaholic this man is. He plays in a lot of places, and everywhere he goes, people go stone-cold nuts. And I can attest to that over and over again because nobody zones like this man when he plays a keyboard. Just saw him on Saturday night with Christian DeMasona's All-Star Band in in Woodbridge, Virginia. And once again, it was Elliott Levine on fire. So glad to be able to hear from you. Elliott, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on the show. And it's really it's hard to follow Ray Gaskin, so, I mean, I heard that interview, and, man, it's a hard act to follow, but I'll try my best. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, and I know that you're doing your thing because you're always working. Hey, look, Ray and you are cut from the same cloth. Both of you are complete Charlie Hustle men. You are both so strong in the way of your own promotion, and you can attest to how much that has helped you, Elliott, through the years. You've done so well. You've got to be pleased with how your music career has been going, aren't you? I know you are.
And as a side note, I've known Ray since about 1984. We played at Peabody Bookshop, which was in downtown Baltimore, the jam session there. I was playing on a piano with three keys that were broken. It was kind of out of tune. But that's where we got our schooling and, you know, got our chops together. But that was a long, long, we go way back.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know you went that far back.
Yeah.
Wow. So
I was there when I was going to college. I was there when I went to them, and I would take the 8 bus downtown and walk a half mile, and Ray was part of that.
That's really amazing. When did you start to get the bug? I don't know if I've ever asked you this question. When did you know that you wanted to play keyboard, and what made it real attractive to you to want to learn?
Well, I was playing since I was like 4 or 5 years old because there was a piano in the house, and I figured out how to play chords and, you know, easier stuff. But I think when I got really serious in high school when I knew that if I could play something over and over, it would eventually get fast and it was stuff other people around there couldn't do. So that was kind of it. Like in the high school jazz band at Wheaton High School, I think, knew that, it was something I wanted to do as long as I'm able to do it.
Wow. So who tickled your fancy as far as when you were a little guy and you heard somebody play the piano? Did somebody stand out? Do you still think of that person when you reflect?
Well, I guess for me it was Monty Alexander. I got to hear him. They had a thing in Washington called the Jazzmobile where they had free concerts, and they were really small concerts. They were actually playing out of a trailer. Well, a real small stage, and it had Milt Jackson on vibes, Monty Alexander, Grady Tate, and it was an amazing show, and I knew, that's who I wanted to try to emulate, because he had, like, some serious power and serious, he made you feel it. He had a blues feeling, to him at the time.
And you do, too, Elliott. I have to say that, if people – and I've seen it. When people first come to a show and they see you, you know how people judge by appearances, because you look like the guy that other people go to ask questions when they come to a store. You look like the guy that's real smart, so you have to figure out the brainier questions to ask. But then you start to play, And there's this whole nother side to you. The soul and the blues come out of you like very few people. I don't know where you get that, but it's so doggone cool.
Well, I mean, I've thought about that. A lot of it had to do with, I guess, being schooled in Baltimore when I was, you know, in college, and after college, I was, you know, basically did a lot of the stuff on the East and West Side, the Sportsman's Lounge, Cade's Country Club, the Birdcage, you know, basic. And there was, like, the real masters of playing. And, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, piano players, but, like, Mickey Fields, where, like, he would just do complete, you know, serious playing. And there was a lot of other major people there. And, I mean, even singers like Mickey Cooper and Janelle Fisher and Benny Johnson, they would touch people and reach people in a certain way. And I wanted to emulate that. I guess the other part of it was seeing and also, you know, interacting with Cyrus Chestnut. He gave me the idea of you can build a solo, build it down, and build it back up. So I have a lot of great teachers in Baltimore that, you know, schooled me on, you know, playing keyboards.
You're not kidding. And you are one of those folks that you just breathe new life into songs that have been done before by others. You heard me say how much I appreciated your version of Tender Love. And there's so many that you've done on Live Plus 7. And the other CD, boy, Club 347 must love you because you really make it a point to do some recording at that venue. And I know that Ron thinks the world of you. He always has. But when you do covers, and I know that you do originals, and they're fabulous, and I'm going to play one while you're with me because it's the definitive Elliott Levine song for me. And we talked about it when you were in Virginia the other day. Did you have a great time on Saturday night or what?
Oh, it was amazing. It was an amazing show. It was an honor to be on the same stage with Rob Maletic and Eddie Backus and Christian Dimasonis and the band. And it was a lot of fun, and we're supposed to be doing it again sometime in November. But
it was great
to share the stage with them, and it's great to be part of their upcoming CD, which I hope everyone gets a chance to check out at some point.
So, yeah, that's the next question. Christian and I talked about getting the single. I didn't pick one up in the way of a hard copy that night. So, Elliott, you are on Good Old Days, right?
Yes. We recorded that at a warehouse near the airport in Dulles, Virginia. And, I'm honored to be a part of that. And there might be another tune that I'm on, depending on if it makes the final cut.
Boy, that's so great. Well, Christian sent that to me, and I'm definitely going to play that track in the course of the show so there can be another taste of you because it really sounds so great. But I certainly wanted to play something that was a little bit of a unique situation because both you and the singer on this song shared this song on different CDs, and that is so cool. Is that not indicative of Baltimore, Washington musicians getting together or what? You know?
Yep.
And you know which song I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's the Mark Evans tune. And
yep.
That was an interesting, you know, it was really interesting in that I had the music completely written, and I had the idea of what the title would be, but he took it in a totally different place that was really good. In fact, I think I wrote it when I was on tour with Heatwave, and it would have been like 1999. I was half asleep. I woke up. I recorded it on a practice keyboard, and then I, you know, remembered it. But, yeah, Mark took it and wrote some amazing lyrics to it, and Mark is an amazing poet. It really turned out very well, and I really appreciate you playing it too.
Oh my gosh, yes! And let it be said that I first heard this on the Funk, the Whole Funk, and Nothing But the Funk, which is Elliot's CD. And gosh, what year was that? 2005 or so, Elliot?
Yeah, recorded in 2004.
So I love that CD. Oh, my gosh, love that. And then I heard it again on The First 7 Years by Mark Evans, who is one of our great vocalists in the Baltimore region and beyond. He, like Elliot, known internationally. But this is the truth, Elliot. When I heard this song, this sounded so national to me. This needs to be an internationally known song and played at weddings everywhere. You hear me?
Thank you very much. And, you know, in addition to Mark being a great vocalist, he's a great songwriter, very, you know, very unsung. You know, he needs to,
yes.
His writing is amazing.
Well, I hope you have a little time. It's a 5-minute song, and we're going to get to you and you telling us where you're going to be so people can come and see you so that they can make plans. Even if they're coming from out of town, they can make plans to stay overnight to see you because you're worth it. So.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, hang on the line with me. We're going to play this song by Elliot Levine, my guest right now, with Mark Evans, and I Want You to Know. That's the name of the song.
Have I said to you that I've never known a love as wonderful as the love you give to me? Have I said to you that my life has changed since you have been right here? Sharing every day and night with me. I want you to know you mean the world to me. Have I given you each and everything your heart's been longing for? No one else can love you more. Have I given you the reasons to believe you can be secure with me? Oh, God knows that I have tried to be all you need. Look in my eyes and you will see that there is nothing I would rather do than spend my days and nights in love with you. I pray my actions and my words will show. With all my heart, I want you to know. Can I share with you love that will outlast the sun that warms the sky? On this vow you can rely. Can I share with you a loving home where we can build a family? Take my hand and come with me. You are the air that I breathe. nothing I would rather do than spend my days and nights in love with you. I pray my actions and my words will show. With all my heart, I want you to know. Wherever there is love, there is a way. Wherever for us can begin today. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. With all my heart, I want you to know. Have I said to you that I've never known a love as wonderful as the love you give to me? Girl, I want you to know. Yes, I want you to know. Girl, I want you to know. Yes, I want you to know that I love you.
My friend Matt is in the chat room, and he said, I don't know whether to smile or cry.
Oh,
that's how beautiful that song is. Listen, you and Mark, I mean, there was such chemistry there, but you have chemistry with so many other people, and I want folks to know where you're going to be so that they can feel the magic of that Elliot Levine touch. So please let us know where you're going to be.
Okay, well, first and foremost, my schedule is on my website, which is ElliottLevine.com, two L's and one T. Tomorrow I'm at City View. A week from tomorrow on the 15th at K2 in Woodbridge with my own band.
Oh,
and then
yay!
The following, yep. And then L.A. Young will be on vocals on that one. And then the 21st of August, Club 347 at 8:30, and that's a Thursday. But the big one is the Silver Spring Jazz Festival. That's going to be a huge event. It's going to be on Saturday, September 6th. I got the 4:30 to 5:30 time slot. David Bach will be part of that. Dave Bach and Marcus Johnson are on it, and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. So it's a free show at downtown Silver Spring. And then,
Oh, my gosh.
And then I know that there are people around the country that listen, so I should mention I'll be at Baton Rouge, Louisiana with Heat Wave on the 18th of October, and it's tentatively, November 7th at Showplace Arena in Upper Marlboro with Heat Wave.
Oh,
so,
that's great. That's great. Woo.
But it's all on ElliottLevine.com, as well as a lot of the videos. And something that's fairly new to me that I'm finding out is that a lot of the stuff that I usually videotape a lot of concerts that I do, and when I put them on YouTube, there's a huge international audience that views it. You know, YouTube gives analytics statistics, and I'm finding out that, like, the Netherlands and Japan, you know, they've had, like, 30, 40 views in a week of, like, what I played at Club 347 a week ago. So
really?
It's just kind of amazing that I'd be playing a concert one day, put it on YouTube probably that night, and then someone in or 20 views in Japan and Netherlands, and there's like about 30 countries that have seen stuff from Club 347 and City View and the Druid Hill Music in the Park stuff. So there's a huge international audience you might not think, you know, is out there, but they are. They're viewing stuff and stuff I'm on. So it's just kind of really cool to be a musician in this day and age where you don't have to tour to have people around the world watch you and see you.
Well, you know, Ray and I touched on this a little bit, Elliot, and you know this to be true. In Europe, there are such appreciative audiences for instrumental music, whether it be jazz or soul-infused jazz or rhythm and blues, done, you know, not necessarily vocally, although they appreciate the vocals too. But you've had airplay in different pockets all over the planet. So, I mean, folks know you. They really do. And then with Heatwave, it's a no-brainer. How long have you been with Heatwave, by the way?
Since 1999. Basically, the original keyboard player, Rod Temperton, wrote Thriller for Michael Jackson and Rock With You and left Heatwave in the late 70s. And then... Roy Carter, the keyboard player from 79 on, lives in England. He was on Gangsters of the Groove and the later Heatwave albums, still when they were famous. But he still plays with them in Europe gigs. But since 1999, they've had kind of like a U.S. band, and a lot of the people are based over here, you know, Spoon and Keith Busey and all them. So I've been with them since about, since 99. Pete Jordan, the sax player, got me hooked up with it. So I'm very grateful for him.
Wow. That's a long time, Elliot, and I know that you probably get renewed in your appreciation for the audiences when you're out there with the group, because that's a lot of energy coming back to you as far as the audience love is concerned, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a fun gig. I mean, unlike a lot of tunes after the time, there's almost every tune has a piano solo in it, or a synth solo, keyboard solo. So I get to do a lot of playing, which is one of the, you know, main things I'm grateful about that band. You know, it's not just you're playing parts. You're actually playing solos and jamming.
Boy, they sure have the right guy for Heatwave. There's no doubt about it. Let me ask you this question. A lot of folks won't necessarily know what I'm speaking of, but I think that you have a clip or two from Saturday night. You pulled out a tiny keyboard and you went out into the audience to play. Elliot, what is that?
Oh, that's an easy one. Basically an iPad, where I had the idea of putting a guitar strap, or basically it's a camera strap, and a wireless. So I used my iPad like a keytar. And there's stuff all over on YouTube for it. But basically, I'm the first person in the world to use that in a live performance, at least from anything posted on YouTube, which was in early 2012. And I'm thinking, why should I need a keytar? Yeah, it's basically an iPad with a synth patch and a wireless.
You are something else. Oh, my God. People were tripping in the audience. And I know that you've got I have to put it on my page. I think that at one point it was on my page, but I have to do it again because I have a picture of you with it from the gallery of photos from Saturday night, but with you actually playing because you recorded much of the event, correct?
Yeah. And definitely on the highlights, one of the solos, if you, I guess, search the Big New York, K2, and My Name Elliot Levine, you'll see it.
Okay, awesome. That's great. I'm going to look for it, and as soon as the show is over, I'm going to make sure that people get freaked out again because there's going to be a lot of scuttlebutt. You know, you delve into musical circles, and we share a whole bunch of them. But, Elliot, for those folks, even in Los Angeles or New York or Nashville or Atlanta, any big city that features music, they might not be up to snuff as far as what you're doing is concerned, and I want them to know. So, you know what? If you get some gigs out of this, maybe we can talk about commission.
Man, it's so appreciated. I would so love for my own band to be playing up in there, you know, especially lately. But thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome, Elliot. Thank you for stopping by. And I've directed people to your website already on my Facebook page, so there.
Thank you so much, and hope to see you again soon.
We will. Thanks, Elliot. Bye-bye. You know what? Folks have day jobs, y'all. And I have to reiterate this time and time again, because the whole premise of doing this show was so that musicians could, you know, talk, have a little bit of free time during the day, and then do gigs at night. But what Sister Child didn't take into consideration was that the musicians also had work to pay for the bills during the day. So it was really cool that we had Elliot for 30 minutes or so. He was hanging on for more time. And Ray Gaskins for 30 minutes in the first segment of the show. I wanted to play this. Christian Dimasonis just sent it to me this morning. I was supposed to get hard copy on Saturday night, but I got it via Dropbox today. Featuring Elliot Levine, this is Good Old Days, a brand new single on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Tell me, am I in love are the things that you put me through. The 16 candles are burning on my wall. Tell me who's the biggest fool of them all. I wanna know.
Having fun now, y'all. Woo! Man, the y'all is coming out because T and I talk to each other like this all the time. We slip into these various characters, so forgive me. I won't say it anymore today. That, ladies and gentlemen, is from the much-acclaimed brand-new Rick Braun CD, Can You Feel It? Now, if you are not aware of who did those vocals, are you ready? Elliot Yamin from American Idol fame. He has never sounded better, and if that's the direction he's going to go, he's going to continue to grow and get more folks in his circle because that is some choice stuff. Take Me to the River. Who the heck else was on here? Because this was a lot of fun. Man, of course, Rick doing his trumpet thing so well. Mike Finnegan on the Hammond B3, yes. Who else? Huge Groove on tenor sax, uh-huh. Randy Jacobs on guitar. Nate Kearney Jr. on bass. And, man, there are a whole lot of folks that are on here, including Jeff Lorber and Dave Koz, wanting to make this really special and to pop for Rick Braun. And they did a good job, didn't they? Man, I love that track. And Rick loves that track, too. When he was on the show, couldn't say enough about it. By the way, he's almost to 9,000 likes on his official Facebook page. If you want to contribute and get him to that level, please. Just so you know, Rick is going to be at the Richmond Jazz Festival. I mentioned that before on the show this day. I can't say enough about it. If we have time during the end of the show, I'll just give you a rundown on who's going to be there. Ordinarily, I would not do that, but the Jazz Festival distinctions need to get distinctions. There is never going to be any mention here on any jazz festival that places our jazz artists in a secondary position. Back burner? Oh, hell no. And you heard me say that. I'm a Christian woman. I'm sorry, God, but I have to say that. It is ridiculous to conceive of the fact that you're going to call yourself a jazz festival and Kem is going to be the headliner or Jill Scott. I mean, I really do appreciate their music a lot, but come on. And then you have folks who haven't been involved on the R&B or soul scene for a while, and even they get top billing over acclaimed jazz artists. Boys to Men? Please. Even though from Philly, it's not Boys to Men anymore. It's Boys to Old Men. Look, I'm just telling you the truth here. All right, I'll stop. We also heard a track and a half. Oh, my gosh. That middle track was an MTS sponsored event. Now, it was supposed to be upcoming. Apparently, CD Baby jumped the gun, so it's out there now. You can absolutely get it. It's the song Genesis by Arun Shenoy. He, along with Matthew Shell, were on the show many months back when Victorious was just coming into the plethora of music that everybody was releasing at that time. This is Genesis, a Dom Scott funked out remix featuring Kenny Wesley. Yes! Ian Cameron on violins from Canada, Philippe Prano on electric guitar from Italy, T.O. Lee on bass from the USA, Vahagan Stepanian on piano and keyboards from Armenia, Jonathan Anand Wesley on string arrangements and keyboards, and Dominic Scott on drums and percussion, and he is from Spain. Wasn't that lovely? Oh, my God, that track, 9 minutes and some minutes, seconds. Loved it. We also heard from Elliot Levine doing keyboard work on a brand-new song by Christian Dimasones called Good Old Days. Wasn't that a kick? Oh, it sounded so good. And we're going to keep you in the loop as far as what you can do to get a hold of that track. It's so new that I got it via Dropbox this morning. And if you remember, Christian was on the show and we just heard a little snippet of it. But everything is done and it just sounds absolutely great. So much music to get into, and I want to calm things down a little bit, just play something real sweet to sort of get you stepping into the weekend. This is Minas. Love this song. This is going back now to, 2006 or so, In Rio, the name of the project, and this is the word for butterflies in Portuguese. It's Bor Boletes on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh! This is Hybrid Jazz.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no.
Oh no.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, went out of his sight, to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts. No more sorry ever, but oh no.
Oh no.
They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what happened. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange when you know that you're a wizard of three? I knew that this was meant to be. But I heard little children weren't supposed to sleep tight. That's why I drank a fifth of vodka one night. My parents got frantic, didn't know what to do. But I saw some crazy scenes before I came to. Now do you think I was crazy? I may have been only three, but I was swinging. They all have said Abraham Bell. They all have said Edison. Should I feel sorry if they just couldn't understand the reasoning and the logic that went on in my head? I had a brain, it was the same though, just left them love at me when I refused to ride on all the double-decker buses, all because there was no driver on the top. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no.
Oh no.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doctor, I think that it's you instead, cause I have got a thing that's unique and new. It proves that I'll have the last laugh on you, cause instead of one head, I got two. And you know, two heads are better than one.
Oh my gosh, if you have never heard that song, well, not a lot of people are as old as yours truly, but that song was actually even before moi, 1952, if you can believe it. The great Annie Ross, whose story is so incredible when you delve into her background, it would be incredible enough if you just stopped at her teenage years. Because literally, this is what happened. She was born to Scottish vaudevillians. So she came across the water, she and her parents, with the cheapest tickets they possibly could in a boat. They were in the bowels of the ship. And the story got more interesting from there. She was on a radio show when she was a little kid. She got involved with writing lyrics. Singing, there were various folks that she met at a young age who helped her, and then she got involved with Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross. But the story of this particular song is so cool. It's one of the early vocalese songs set to tenor saxophone, and Wardell Gray had written the song, but Annie was approached by this pretty smart guy, Bob Weinstock, that was his name. He was the owner of Prestige Records, and what he wanted to do was he wanted Annie to find her way around a lyric so that it would sort of capture the flavor of another artist who was making great inroads at that time, King Pleasure. So Annie came up with the lyric to this Wardell song, and it was just a smash. Twisted is the name of the song from an album called King Pleasure Sings. Annie Ross sings. I can't even say enough about this particular lady, and it would be wonderful to be able to spend 30 minutes in her company. I wonder if she is even doing that. She is 84 years old. At one time, a heroin addict, but she survived it. And man, does she have some stories. Wow. You can imagine. I'm almost speechless because having read what I read in the past 24, 48 hours, I knew a lot about her, but the more you delve into her background, the more fascinating she becomes. Whew. Annie Ross, living the song Twisted. Charles Lloyd and Jason Moran from last year. Oh, so beautiful. The Brian Wilson song, God Only Knows, from an album called Hagar's Song. Now, Charles Lloyd, oh my gosh, so beautiful on that saxophone. He's 76 this year, by the way. He used to work with the Beach Boys. Charles is one of those rare creatures with this fascinating lineage. So he delves into each part of that lineage, and he pulls up this music that comes from this amazing depth. When he gets together with Jason Moran on piano and gets involved in that music, it's like no other. Wasn't that beautiful? They have been partnering in music since, what, 2007. So, whew, that was just lovely. And Minas we heard from. And I just saw that Orlando did a little blurb on Facebook thanking me for playing the song. I wanted to play the song the other day. I always love to play anything by Minas, but this particular song from 2006 is called Borboletas, Butterflies in Portuguese. Learn about Minas at minasmusic.com. On the 9th Saturday, they're going to be at Music Fest in Bethlehem, PA, and they're going to be at the Jenkintown Festival of the Arts in September. That's where I was raised, in Jenkintown outside of Philadelphia. So if you get a chance to either support their music or go see them, please do. Got to play a couple more songs. Have to do it. Have to do it. Got to play My Slim Man with the Marc Antoine Enhanced Bonafide CD. This is called Delizioso on Hybrid Jazz. is Hybrid Jazz. You know, this is an absolute riot. Matt and Beach and I in the chat room know every single word to this song, and we're quoting passages. Oh, golly. look, who knew the Staple Singers were going to be visionaries when they did this song in 1971, right? Oh, my God. Put your hand on your mouth when you cough. That'll help the solution. Woo! Man alive, this stuff is so good. Oh, and Pops and Cleotha, no longer with us, but Purvis, Yvonne, and Mavis are. Respect yourself from Be Altitude. Respect yourself. Mm. Chicago-based. And, man, did they have a good run. Oh, you just did not know what was happening to you when the Staple Singers were playing, because you got gospel for sure in your face. Whether you liked it or not, you were going to get some gospel. But you got blues, you got soul, you got a strong taste of jazz, and just the authenticity, oh, nobody could touch it. So beautiful. Love to hear that song. Good to close the show with, too, right? Mm. We heard from Ray Gaskins. That's our third Ray song. Thank you so much, Ray, for stopping by in the second hour. That was Butterfly from his A Night in the Life CD. So many tracks, and each one a treasure. When you get a Ray Gaskins CD, it's for sure that you're going to get something that'll make somebody happy some of the time, because he tries to mix it up a little, and he's got that vocal groove going on, or he gets somebody else to do the vocals. In the last case of Time for Love, he got Micah Chevalier to sing a few songs. It was just so, so cool. And we heard, too, Bonafide, Delicioso, the name of the track. And if you have seen Slim Man's new email blast, you know that, first of all, he has a new recipe out called Cod Pieces. Matt Williams, you'll appreciate this. A little variation, this recipe, on codfish cakes, or coddies, as we like to call them in Baltimore. So, of course, Slim is going to call them Cod Pieces, right? Slim Man is entertaining Mark Antoine. Mark came to see him, so I guess Mark is going to be at the Seal Beach Spaghettini's gig tomorrow night. Go to slimman.com and find out more. Oh, yes, siree. And then he's going to be in Santa Rosa, California, and Modesto. That's a handsome boy from Baltimore making the rounds in California. Yes, siree, Bob. Doing so well. Those of us who love Slim worry about him because of Batu. And it looks like he's doing okay. Love him so much. My goodness. Hey, I'm looking at the calendar right here, and I know I had something else to tell you. Tell it to you on Facebook if that's okay, or Twitter. Coming up, we've got Monica Chapman. Yes, we do. And I'm looking at the dates. Can I even see the calendar from here? Oh, I have to get up. Yes, inside. Our friend Norman is coming back to the show. Yes, that's the 19th. And we've got D. Lucas coming to the show. We've got a couple of new artists and a couple of surprises that are waiting in the wings. I'm not going to tell you yet. It's going to be so much fun. Thanks for joining us today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks to Elliot Levine, who came by in the second half of the middle hour of the show. That was such fun. The music is just so incredible. If you get a chance, please support your local and regional artists. They might not be able to tell you because maybe not they're not working in as many gigs as they ought to be playing, but it means the world when you give them your monetary support, either in the way of live performances or CDs. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday on Hyper Jazz. Mwah.